been with us for a short time. We're visitors today. As you can see, a lot of the chickens have flown a coop. It was nice having everyone here throughout the winter, and it's been an awesome time for us here at Lakeside. The rule we have now is that if you spend the summer with us, you have to bring someone to church with you. So you've been given an assignment. Try to find someone that you can bring to church to help fill up these seats again. So welcome. We hope you can work with me on that as well. Connect cards. You hear me every week say, fill out your connect cards. I would encourage you to do that today as well. A reminder as well, on the 25th of May, we're going to have a reception of new members again. I have a list started of folks that will either be transferring or joining Lakeside as professions of faith. But if you're interested in doing that on May 25th, so if you could indicate that on your connect card as well, or possibly just tell me and hopefully I'll remember, but I would prefer if you could do it on the connect cards today and drop those in the offering plate as that comes by today. We are having our fifth Sunday offering today, Native American Ministries. That's a ministry that's near and dear to my heart since I have a little Native American blood in me, so I would encourage you to put something in the envelope and drop it in the offering plate this morning as well. Next Saturday, we're having a tea party. Yay. Has everyone got their tickets for the tea party next Saturday? All right, very good. Well, we hope you all can come out. Ladies, come out for the tea party. It's next Saturday in the fellowship hall from 11 to 1. Nancy and who else? Jean. Nancy and Jean have the tickets, so see those ladies for the tickets. What's the deadline for the ticket sale so you know when we need them? Okay, tomorrow. So try to let them know so they know how much food to prepare and have everything that we need for that, right? Okay, very good. Oh, Memorials Committee. We're going to meet quickly after church today in the library. We've got an important agenda item to take care of this morning. So if you're on memorials, you know who you are, and we'll get together after church today. We'd like to invite Selvern Dakers, the leader of our staff parish relations committee now. Selvern, would you please come forward? He has an announcement to make today. As you know, in the Methodist Church, today is Announcement Sunday. You know what that means? What does that mean? Well, I'm happy with the news Selvern has today. I hope you are as well.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As the leader of the staff parish relations committee, I'm happy to report that Pastor David is back with us for another year.
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins,
Gracious God, you meet us where we walk the roads of life, and you reveal to us mighty things. You call us to change our lives and to depend on you. You teach us the greatest, deepest mysteries and reveal the truth of your promised grace. Open our ears to hear your words today and open our hearts to burn with your truth, so that mutual love may burst forth among all your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right, you're being standing. We've got a praise song.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I love that song. It's my favorite of all time. This is also one of my favorites. It's called Change My Son. much anybody under 90. So it'll be a film.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that you? I'm looking at you. Good morning. Good morning. What do you want to talk about today? Huh? I don't really have anything. Anybody got anything? Do you believe everything you see? Yeah. What's that mean? Yeah. Yep. Yep. You believe everything you see. I've got some land I'd like to sell you. Do you believe Jesus came back after he died?
Yep.
How do we know that? We need to know that promises were kept, didn't we? Because all those guys, those disciples that hung out with Jesus and was his friend, when Jesus died, did they really think he was going to come back?
Nope.
Now, who would be closer to Jesus than that group of people that hung out with him for those few years? Didn't he tell them that he was coming back?
Nope.
He told them it was, that he was coming back, but they didn't believe it. So that day, you know, a couple weeks ago we had Easter, right? What do we celebrate Easter for? He came back, didn't he? But even that, when the women went over there and the stones rolled away, they looked in, Jesus is gone. The first thing they thought was, oh great, Jesus is risen. He's come back after 3 days, just like he said. But what did they say? Somebody stole his body. They've come in here, taken his body, and run off with it. That shows real faith, doesn't it? So when the women went back and told those guys that were still in bed sleeping, like men like to do, right? They said, hey, Jesus is gone. Did they all of a sudden jump up and say, oh, I believe he's been resurrected. He's come back. What'd he say? You women are crazy. You been drinking this early in the morning? Somebody stole his body. So what'd they do? Then they ran and ran as hard as they could to run back over to the tomb and look in there. And sure enough, somebody stole his body. They still didn't get it, did they? So that tells me the things we see, we don't always believe, right? Some things are just too far-fetched to believe, aren't they? Now, I believe everything you guys tell me. Right? Can I believe everything you guys tell me? Yeah. I think I probably can. I don't know if Destiny, she's over there, she's a little shaking her head, knowing that I can't trust her. Uh-oh. I think I can. And that's a good way to be. But what I'm talking about today is that Jesus told us he was coming back, and he did. But even the people that hung around there with him couldn't believe it, did they? They said, this can't be real. I don't remember. And this is really what they said. I don't really remember him saying that. Now, come on. When your parents ask you to do something and you don't do it, they come back later and say, hey, why didn't you do that? You know, I don't remember you telling me that. You always do that? I do too. Me too. My wife will tell you, I tell him stuff all the time. And I say, you didn't tell me that. Right? Amen, sister. So that's our lesson today. That when we tell people something, we should mean it. And when we see things, especially where Jesus is concerned, we need to believe that he's going to do what he's told us he's going to do, right? Very good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these beautiful children. The spirit that you put within them, Father, we pray that their curiosity and their imagination would continue to grow and their faith would grow, Father, in you. So, Father, as we believe in things that we can't see, let us also believe in things that we can.
It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Off to Sunday school. Cool.
Beautiful children. We should thank the Lord every day that we have children coming up that has that imagination and that curiosity for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We need to nurture that in our children. It's a time in our service to go before the Lord in prayer. We've got quite a few here this morning. Richard, it's awesome seeing you in church today. I paid him a visit. We're lifting you up for continued healing and for peace of Christ to surround you and to get you through these troubled times. Betty Lee Gray, I just understand that she is back in the hospital, I think about 3 days. I want to lift her up. She may be released today. But just keep Betty in your prayers as well. Jim Short is undergoing chemotherapy treatments, and we just want to lift him up and pray for healing and for comfort during this time as well. Wanda Bell, she's undergoing chemotherapy treatments for it's a cancerous tumor behind her eye, so that's a pretty dangerous situation for her. So keep Wanda in your prayers as well. We're praying for Steve this morning to stay, to be healthy, and to take his medicine. Continuing to pray for Helen Ben. She's out of the hospital and doing a little better, so that's a praise this morning. Continue to keep her in your prayers. George Brennanstall, they went down to Miami for testing, and he will be having a stent put in his carotid artery on May 20th. So let's continue to lift him up for complete healing on that. Ruthie Rawson's dad, William Rawson, is possibly having a cornea transplant rejection. So we want to lift William up this morning. A prayer to be released from anxiety and strength for work, stresses at work. Lena's prays this morning for her church family that supported her through the loss of her nephew, Chris. Lena, we're here with you. We love you all. Maricela as well. Keep her sons in prayer. And she will be opening a pastry shop, so she's asking for blessings for that. And everyone is invited, she says. Gene Nussbaum and his family from Illinois, they left this morning, actually, to travel back. They won't be back until October, so we're going to miss Gene and his family as well. Continued prayers for Jesse, Kat, Max, and Betty. Nancy Geddes, the granddaughter Katie, is going to Guatemala for 10 days, leaving tomorrow. So safe travel and just to be a blessing to those that she's going to serve. As I mentioned earlier, today is Announcement Sunday. I'm lifting up all the clergy families and the transitions that they'll be making, I'm sure, after today. It will be a quite hectic time for pastors and clergy to be relocating. So let's keep them in our prayers as well. Prayers and concerns on your heart, it's time now to bring them before the Lord. So as we go for prayer, just lift those up that you kept secreted away in your heart that needs God's attention this morning. Would you pray with me, please? Loving God, we come to you this morning, Lord, with glorious praise for where we've seen you work mightily in our lives this week. Father, what a blessing it is to see friends in church, to see people come together in the name of God. Father, as we gather as children of Christ, we are family members in Christ's holy family. Father, I ask your blessing upon all of us today. Father, as we've lifted up our loved ones this morning, I pray your intervention that you would come and be in each of these situations, that where people are not feeling your Holy Spirit, they're with them, and they would be overwhelmed this morning by the rush of the Spirit indwelling within them. Father, thank you for your provision, for your care for us, for your healing, for your peace and your presence in our life. Father, thank you so much for loving us more than we could ever imagine. Father, we come this morning as broken people, but we know in Jesus Christ we are made whole. We are made one with you. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to come together, to lift up one another in prayer, to lift up clergy around the world today, Lord, that will be starting a new journey. And for those churches that will be receiving new pastors, let them be received with loving and open arms. Let them be received as children of God that have come to serve the people of God. Father, I pray a mighty blessing on each one of those today. Father God, we lift up our community and our nation. Father, where things seem impossible, we know that you can work the impossible. So, Father, as we turn these things over to you today, let us have confidence in the things that we cannot see. As I told the children, Lord, we need to believe in things that we can't see. A belief that you will keep us safe, keep us free in the Spirit of Christ. So, Father, I just pray a blessing upon our service today. That those that are singing, that those that are participating, those that are helping to do the service today would be blessed by their service. So, Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the promise of tomorrow. We pray these things in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.
for letting us share our blessings with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other,
As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all these things put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body. And be thankful people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and give thanks to God the Father through Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this reminder this morning. Father, how we are to love one another through good times and bad. Father, I ask your blessing upon this message this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, this is our last of the sermon series, Why Jesus? I forgot to bring my book with me this morning to show you the book. But that's where the message is coming from this morning, is Why Jesus? After these 12 weeks we've been delving into this topic, do you still find yourself asking, why Jesus? Do we do that? Do we wonder what in the world is Jesus thinking about? In Jesus, the Word took on muscle, didn't it? God said, I'm going to send someone down there just like you. Not necessarily just like us, though, is it? He was perfect. Safe to say, none of us are perfect, are we? But Jesus came. The Christian faith takes its cues from the life of Jesus Christ. He was a material being. He was something. You could touch him. You could hold him. You could grab onto his robe. Just a fringe of his robe had the power to heal. Is that lacking in our world today? Is that power gone? Is that power no longer in effect in our world? Can anyone here testify to a miracle?
Amen.
I would hope everyone's hand would go up. Every day is a miracle. Every day is a blessing. Jesus came to us as God in a body in action. And we all feel good about being in action. This whole body thing, Jesus being a Jew, they didn't put much emphasis on the body. They didn't divide people up into spirit and flesh. Possibly the most offensive part about Jesus is that he has a body. Now, what do you mean by that, you're saying? Is God no greater than each one of us? He sent Jesus here as a human being. What each one of us pray for today and hope for is what Jesus did in the end. He was resurrected. We've just come through the Easter season. We're all up on the Easter story now. We all know what it was about. We know that Jesus rose. The story I told with the children. Can any of you relate to that? Jesus came back just like he said he would. Our affirmation of faith this morning, the Apostles' Creed. You know why I picked that today? Because we've just affirmed that we believe in the resurrection of the body. Can everyone raise their hand to that? Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're all a bunch of phonies. We're all a joke. What we have, what I as your pastor stand up here, is meaningless. But with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it all comes together. Paul said that our perishable body will be put on an imperishable body. What does that mean for us? Does that mean today that because of Jesus, we all have a hope for what's beyond this world? How many of you are rushing to find out what the other side looks like? Most of you know we've had a rough time with my father. He's been in a nursing home for almost 3 years now. He never thought he would end up like this, and neither did we. What I've learned, and through the lives of many of you folks, and we've had people pass away here that lived a long time, and some that we thought had lived quite long enough. But as I've been through this path with my father, I came to the realization that there comes a point in our life when trying to stay alive is fruitless, isn't it? Doing everything medically possible, doing everything that we think is possible to prevent the inevitable. I jokingly have made a vow that when I get to be old somewhere, and this number fluctuates on any given day, it could be 60, it could be 80, it could be 90, I don't know yet. Some days I think it's today. But I'm determined that at some point in my life, I'm going to say bye-bye to doctors, bye-bye to medicine, bye-bye to all those things that keep you alive for a long time. And I think, I hope, I'm in good enough shape to go climb Mount Everest, maybe jump out of an airplane with or without a parachute, do this gliding suit thing that they have now that you can jump off a cliff and you look like a flying squirrel. I think that looks pretty cool. But in my conservative life, I always say, well, that might hurt. But if I'm about, Marty, back me up on this. I don't even know how old Marty is, but Marty, you still go skiing. Marty is risking life and limb to go ski because he loves it. So I'm thinking, when I get to a certain age, and like I said, that fluctuates, I'm going to go do everything that I was always too big a chicken to do. Because if you go out in the blaze of glory, what better way to go? I'm ready to go. And for the most of my life, I've been too big a coward to do those scary things. I won't ride a roller. I've just now started riding like the children's roller coasters. Now, as a rule, people that ride roller coasters, half of them don't die to live. So that must be a pretty safe endeavor. But my thought process is that if you're going to die and you know where you're going, take some risk. I wonder if my wife will let me take risk. Some days, yes. But while we're here, we still have some work to do, don't we? I feel like I beat you all over the head with this message. Because in Jesus Christ, He lives in each one of us. He's the same Jesus that once walked Galilee, and now He shows up all over the world. Do you understand that? By calling yourselves Christians, you have a part of Jesus within you. And as Christians, we're all over the world, aren't we? So do we take Jesus out into the world? Yes, we do. That's not a trick question. I tell you, almost every week you've been given a job by God. And Jesus came here to give us an idea of what that might include. Did you know that during Jesus' entire life, he never strayed more than 100 miles from his birthplace? How can you say that was a very successful ministry? He didn't go to Indonesia or Argentina or the North Pole. But who has gone? Once again, not a trick question. Who has gone to the farthest reaches of the earth? You all have. We have, as Christians. We have taken the message of Jesus Christ, which is in each one of us, to the ends of the earth. Now you might say, well, Jesus had a pretty successful ministry. He walked around in a small little area over there, mostly desert and dusty. I've been there. Riding in our nice air-conditioned bus, I look out the window and say, Jesus walked across here. Was he nuts? Why would you do that if you didn't have to? He did that because he did have to. He did that because he started out preparing 12 little misfits, knuckleheads. But in turn, he ended up with all of us. You see how that works? Do you get the picture here? As disciples of Jesus Christ, we have been sent out into the world. Did Jesus start out to invent church? Did Jesus have a church? What is the church? The church are the people. The people that come together on Sunday morning for an hour and sing nice songs and say nice prayers and cut up with the kids. But folks, we can't live within this building. When we go outside these doors, we become the church in the world. Now that's a pretty big responsibility, isn't it? When you think of it in that regard, that you are representing Jesus Christ to the world, does that make you a little nervous? Does that make you a little nervous? It does me. So when we recite the creed, we say that we believe in Jesus Christ, but also that we believe in one holy Catholic Church. That we believe in the Church Universal. That we believe as God's representatives, we've been sent here to do a holy work. Is the church always a good place? This is my argument to folks that say, I'm not going to church because it's full of hypocrites. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. Why don't you come and join us? Well, there's a bunch of sinners in there. Absolutely right. That's why we're there. You would fit right in. Isn't that the dumbest argument for not coming to church? Because you might set the people just like you. That's not a very good argument. That is not something we should be proud of. With all of its problems, with all of its warps and hiccups and bumps, and my argument back to them has always been, well, if you don't come to church and you don't hang around with us hypocrites and sinners,
You probably think you're better than we are then, right? But what makes us different is we go and we're trying to do better. Does anyone here try to do better? Or you always get up in the morning and say, I'm going to try to do worse today. I think today's the day I'm really going to mess somebody up. Well, the church, even from that earliest church, we heard Paul in his letters to every church almost say, you're all good people, but you're all a bunch of knuckleheads. Quit that. Don't make me come over there. But you know what, folks? We gather in this building, we come together and do those things I say. Singing, praising, giving thanksgiving to God, praying, because we're trying to do better. Amen? We're trying to do better. Paul encountered Jesus, encountered God. Where did he encounter him? On the road to Damascus. Look it up, folks. You can ride along that road today. Are we ever struck blind by the glory of God? I have a great part here. I need to run across it from the book. Right from the book, so you would get an idea of what I'm talking about. When God struck Paul blind on the road to Damascus, what did he say to him? What did the voice of God say to Paul, to Saul at this point? Anyone remember? Why are you persecuting me? What does that mean? Why would God say to Saul, why are you persecuting me? What was Paul's response? Saul said, I'm not persecuting you, God. I'm persecuting these morons that have come in your name. Saul thought he was doing the right thing. Until what? God came. Wake up. Why are you persecuting me? What that means is Saul is persecuting the church. And God said, knock it off. Do we need to be struck blind to realize what God is talking about? We have example after example in the scripture. What God wants us to do. When we persecute the church, we're persecuting God. The church is the gift of Christ. He's given us a reason to come together. He's given us a reason to come and get to do what we're going to do this morning. So this poor old church we talk about is the best proof of resurrection. It's the best proof that Jesus came back for us. As Jesus Christ is present here with us this morning. The Holy Spirit teaches us things that we could never come up with on our own. What does God do in our life? We're amazed. Man, God is pretty smart. How did that happen? By no fault of our own. So this morning we get to come. We get to peek behind the veil. Is the veil still there? Do we put a veil between ourselves and God? What happened on that day? The veil was ripped, wasn't it? It was ripped. It was opened up.
invite you this morning to come behind the veil. Become as a little child, take up the cross, pass the bread, share the wine, get born again, and join the journey. Be dangerous for God. Be dangerous. Let's let the party begin. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We do get to come together and share hearts to truth and love as we share this table with Him. As He gathers us close, Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, and breaks it, and we eat together, you and me, and Christ at the table. It is during the meal that we recognize Christ, see the gift of God's love, and are transformed. Only then can we truly say the Lord has risen. For Christ has risen in our hearts. Folks, Christ is in your heart. Friends, loved ones, this table is prepared by Christ for the transformation and redemption of the world. At this table, we recognize Christ and God's love rises in our hearts. Come, let us break bread with the one who is present now. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to forgive and lead the church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard their cry of need. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in Your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so, with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God in power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us the new covenant by water and the Spirit. By Your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are Your people, declaring Your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, He promised to be with us always, in the power of Your Word and Holy Spirit.
the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, he gathered with his friends around the table. He took the bread during the meal and he broke it. He told them, "Take, eat, for this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the meal, he took the cup. He raised it to the heavens and said, "Father, bless this, for this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Father, bless them. Take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me." The day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will not be again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Father, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence of the children of God, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thanksgiving of this feast. Father, let us always remember your Son who gave us this precious gift. Father, bless us now as we go from this place. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, "Just As I Am." sent his Son to die on the cross for us. And through his resurrection, we have the hope of tomorrow. Go out in Christ's name to the world, in whose name I pray. Amen.